this is cool. I really like the fact that we did away with the side chairs and then y'all could all get right in front of me. That's good. Hello, way back there in the back. We'll just keep stacking them in back there. Y'all keep coming in. There's a couple little things I want to get to before we get into the message. Several weeks ago, a month ago, I don't know how long we've been doing this, but I handed out these Serenity Church, Help Us Lord, Jesus is Lord prayer cards. You could put in your wallet, whatever you wanted to do there. Does everybody have one of these? Okay, we got a couple out here who need a couple of these. These are the different, no, not those. These are different ones. These are the prayer. Here, take all these and get those hands that don't have that prayer. Try to get them one of those. And as they're passing those out, there'll be Bibles and bulletins and stuff like that. These guys are passing around pens. You'll need a bulletin because there's a couple of filled in the blanks. There's also some stuff. It'll have the scripture that we're talking about tonight, everything else. These guys here, they also have something else. It's a Serenity Church QR code. And so they're going to hand those out throughout the congregation here. And this prayer that we've been doing, it states in the prayer for us to help us be the church that reaches the hurting and help us be bold about the name of Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for the blessings. But if we're just coming here, hearing a message, going to our meetings during the week, whatever, and we're not saying something about Serenity Church, we're not reaching out to someone else, this prayer is useless. It's prayed in vain, right? So we asked the Lord to help us, and He did. Linda put a QR code on here so you can hand this card to someone. You can invite them to church. You can talk about your church. But at your meeting during the week, if anything comes up, what are you doing Saturday night? Well, this is what I do. Here's the card. It has the address on it and all they have to do. And I've not seen anybody that sees one of these that don't want to pull their phone out and see what it says. He's doing it now. So that's an excellent way. We ask the Lord to help us. Help us figure out how to reach other people. Help us do this, Lord. And so here's some help. Here's some help right here. So hand those out. We have a few. If you want to take a couple, they're going to be back here on the back table by that red box if you need a couple more. And as soon as we run out of those, we'll get some more. So please use those things. So let's open it up tonight with that prayer. I'll say Jesus is Lord. You follow up with help us, Lord, and I'll present our request. So help us, Lord. Wait a minute. Jesus is Lord. Yeah. To be the church for the broken and the powerless. To be bold about the name of Jesus. To be grateful for the blessings and the struggles. Amen. Thy will be done. Amen. If you'll open your bulletin to the inside right-hand side, there'll be some stuff to write down along the way. But I have a question. And me and my dad, several years ago, started talking about this, and we wondered why this was such a greatly used statement. Well, all we can do now is pray. Have you said that before? Have you said that statement? Well, all we can do now is pray. Why is that even a statement? That sounds like a last resort. We've tried everything. Let's try praying. Is it because we think that we can fix our problems? Of course Do we think that God doesn't have time for our little stuff? Why do we use that phrase? All we can do now is pray. Why isn't prayer the first thing we go to? Why isn't God the first thing we go to when we have a problem? When we have issues in our life, we try to fix it 50 different other ways before we even reach up to Jesus. I'm guilty. I do that. I don't know if it's just not first nature. Us as humans, we fight or flight, and I lean towards fight. So to be able to surrender, to ask God to help, you have to surrender, which is not in my nature. It's not in my nature to just give up or surrender or ask for help. Man, I was out there in my addiction for years before I finally, I give. You got me pinned. Uncle. I screamed, Uncle. And even then, whenever I asked for help, I didn't really want the help that was offered, but I was going to get left on the side of the road if I didn't go in. So I didn't want to be left there. So I did. I surrendered. But is it because we think that God won't listen to that prayer? There's a number of different things it could be. Or is it that we truly don't trust Jesus? Trust that Jesus will fix our problem. This is the first thing I want you to write down. It's at the top of the list. And we're going to get real honest. I'm going to say these two questions throughout this message. Don't worry, it's not a very long message. But we're going to hear this several times because I really want you to answer that question for yourself. Do you trust Jesus? Do you have faith in Jesus? I've talked about this before. How many of us have ever flown in a jumbo jet? Been out to the airport, got in a plane, got a boarding pass, walked on in, found our seat, sat down, buckled in. How fast do you go down the runway? 200 miles an hour? I don't know. And then soar into the air 30,000 feet. Did you ever once ask what the pilot's name was? Did you ever ask for a background check? Did you ever, what's his credentials? You're trusting someone you've never met, you've never heard anything about, you don't know his name, to carry you 30,000 feet in the air. You're trusting someone you've never met with your life. How ridiculous does that sound? Sounds pretty ridiculous, right? Doctors. We can research doctors. We can look them up. But for the most part, do we? We get sick and we go, I'm going to the doctor. And for some of us, I know me in particular, I didn't have a physician or a doctor that I saw regularly or anything like that. I do now. It's funny, once you hit 40 and then 45 and stuff, you start going to the doctor more often, and now I do. But throughout the years of growing up, and even in my children's lives, we go to Care Now. And it could be any doctor on staff at that time. It could be anybody. It was a rotating, they just rotated through. We never checked the doctor's credentials. We don't know if the doctor graduated at the top of his class with straight A's or graduated at the bottom of his class was C's. A's or C's, you still get to be a doctor, you passed. How good is that care? I know that during the pandemic, there was teledoctor thing started, and you could just get online and talk to a doctor, you know, on your computer and tell them your problems, and they could prescribe you a pill, and you could go down and get that pill and take it. We trust that that pill is exactly what we need. We don't question those things. Why do we have such a hard time trusting Jesus? You have all his credentials. You have everything ever written about him right in your lap. Talking about the doctors, it reminded me, hang on a minute, it reminded me of a few years ago. I have diverticulitis, and those of you who don't know what that is, it's in your intestines, a portion of your intestines gets infected, and you have blisters there, and food gets in that, and it's pretty painful. But a few years ago, I had such an awful flare-up, and it kept recurring, and so I went to the hospital with it. A doctor came in, a doctor I'd never met. I was at the ER. It's just whoever's on staff, right? And I was in such pain, I didn't care. There's a key. If you're in enough pain. I was in enough pain, I didn't care who he was, as long as it had the word doctor on his name and could fix me. So I'm there, and he says, you know, he does all the exam, and they obviously see it again. And he says, I can see that you've been here several times with this. We're going to have to go ahead and keep you, and we're going to have to do surgery. Well, he told me we're going to do surgery. Well, I didn't. Let's look up this guy's name who's about to cut on me. I didn't do any of that. I just said, put me in there. Give me another shot of that good stuff that you've already given me. I did. I'm honest. So I was in there about a week, and they put antibiotics in me, and they had to do that before they could actually do the surgery. And so the surgery day came. It happened. The next day, was feeling okay. The next morning, I was supposed to go home. And I woke up that morning not feeling very well. But I'd already been in the hospital 7 days or so, 8 days, and I was really ready to go. They put me in the chair and started wheeling me out to the car. And I could feel that I had fever. But I wasn't really going to say anything because I wanted to go home. And the nurse even said, are you okay? You think? I said, no, I'm fine. I got in the car, and of course, I'm married to a nurse. And we get home, and she can see that I'm not okay. And she takes my temperature, and I'm running a fever. And she said, you just had surgery. Running a fever is not good. And so she put my butt back in the car. We went back to the hospital. We're back in the ER, and they admit me again. The doctor that did the surgery, as soon as he had finished my surgery, went on vacation out of the country. And so here I am back, and Trina calls them Twiddledee and Twiddledum, the two doctors that filled in for him. And they started running tests and trying to figure out what was going on with me. They couldn't. They couldn't figure it out. They kept looking and kept doing x-rays and kept doing MRIs. And at one point tried to send me home, and Trina threw a fit because she knew there was still something wrong. She never pulls out the I'm a nurse card. This time she did. and asked to see the records and all that kind of stuff. And anyway, long story, people started to pray. People from this church started to pray for me. There at one point during all that, I remember telling Trina, I can't do it no more, man. I'm done. Painful. Real painful. It hurt. And for 15 days, I'm running fever. It's not going away, and I'm in a lot of pain. And there's people coming up praying for me. There's people anointing me with oil. There's people drowning my feet and head in oil. This was all going on. James 5, 14 and 15, it says, anyone who is sick should call the church elders. They should pray for and pour oil on the person in the name of the Lord. And the prayer that is said with faith, the prayer that is said with faith, the prayer that is said with trust, will make the sick person well. The Lord will heal that person and forgive their sins. People came and did that for me. They were praying outside of my hospital room. 15 days or so into that doctor's stay, my doctor comes back. He pops onto the scene and he says, oh my goodness, what are you still doing here? Obviously, I'm sick. And Tweedledee and Tweedledum have tried everything. And he says, well, they haven't tried everything. There's one last way we can look, but you're not going to like it. Through the backside. And at that point, I didn't care. Figured out. And so we did that. He came back in and he said, I found it. There was a 2-centimeter leak in my intestines. So everything that went into my body went out into my body. He said that this kills people. And that usually when it's found after a surgery like that, they have to immediately go in and cut the person back open and start over. He goes, but something crazy is going on here. He said, it's healing itself. Amen. He said, that usually don't happen, man. He said, it's healing itself. He goes, if I would have come back 5 days earlier, we would have had you in emergency surgery right now. We would have found it. I would have found it. That's what he said. And he said, but I don't want to touch it now because it's healing itself. I said, it ain't healing itself. Crazy, man. I've had people praying for me. I've had people anointing me with oil. There wasn't anyone that was saying, all we can do now is pray. That's the first thing that they were doing. They went straight to the Lord with it. Yeah, I told him. I said, Jesus is healing that. I ended up staying 24 days total in the hospital. It was an experience I'll never forget. I said earlier that I'm a fighter, that I'm fight through. But there was a point that I looked at Trina and said, I don't think I can do it anymore. That was tough. But I got a question for you. Do you trust Jesus? Do you have faith in Jesus? I told you I'm going to repeat that throughout this. I wrote that down, and the next thing I thought of is like, oh, well, trust and faith, they're a lot alike. They can be interchangeable. But I always thought faith had to do with spiritual things and belief, and it does. And trust, you know, had to do with somebody or confidence in a thing, and it does. So your next fill in the blank is trust. It's firm belief in someone or something. Faith. Faith is a firm belief. Your next fill in the blank is faith. It's funny. Faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Complete trust. In Matthew 15, there's a story about a woman who had complete trust and faith in someone that she had never met. Matthew 15, 22 through 28, it's up here on the board, but if you want to turn to it in your Bibles, give me a second to get a drink. So, Matthew 15, the title of this section is Jesus Helps a Non-Jewish Woman. Why is that important? We'll go on through here and we'll find out. Verse 22, it says, a Canaanite woman from that area came to Jesus and cried out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter has a demon and she is suffering very much. But Jesus did not answer the woman. So his followers came to Jesus and begged him, tell the woman to go away. She is following us and shouting. Jesus answered, God sent me only to the lost sheep, the people of Israel. Then the woman came to Jesus again and bowed down before him and said, Lord, help me. Sound familiar? Jesus answered, it is not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. The woman said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. I will do what you ask. And in that moment, her daughter was healed. So there's so much in that, just a few verses, there's so much there. And so I took a pen and underlined the things that jumped off. First thing that jumped off the page at me is it's a Canaanite woman. This was not a Jew. Why is that important? I'll get to there. But the next thing right under that is she cried out. Why is that important? Have you been in a position where you cried out? You only do that if you're in pain. She cried out. The followers said she is shouting. She was raising her voice. The next thing I underlined is, and I put a star by it. She bowed down. She bowed down before him and said, Lord, help me. I underlined this, and this thing about this scripture has always kind of bothered me. Jesus said it's not right to take children's bread and give it to the dogs. I underlined that because I wanted to investigate that just a little bit further. That sounds kind of mean, don't it? I underline, woman, you have great faith. In other words, she has great trust in someone she had never met. She may have heard stories. Why else would she be there if she hadn't heard about him? Right? But she had never met him. And then I underlined, I will do what you ask. And then I underlined, her daughter was healed. I need to read this right here. In the AA Big Book on page 68, It said some of us had great self-confidence, but it didn't fully solve the fear problem or any other. When it made us cocky, it was worse. Perhaps there's a better way. We think so, for now we are on a different basis, a basis of trusting and relying on God. We trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. Is that where you're at? Do you trust Jesus? Do you have faith in Jesus? I was sitting in a meeting in Lingleville on Tuesday, and this was our topic, trusting Jesus. Do you trust Jesus? And how's that look in your life? And this lady shared, and she says, you know, if you would have just asked me, do you trust Jesus? The answer is yes, absolutely. She said, I really have to get honest. I trust him here. I understand what that means. But I don't always trust him here. I trust him with my head. I understand that. She said, what I need to work on is getting my head and my heart in the same place. When trusting him fully in my mind and in my heart and understanding that he's got it no matter what. And turning all that over to him. This Canaanite woman, why is that important that she's a Canaanite woman? Well, they didn't worship God. They worshiped several gods. I looked up some of this. You know me, I went to Google. Thank God for Google. And there is I Googled what gods did the Canaanites worship, and there's a lot of different stuff that came up, and the Canaanite deities were organized in a pantheon. I hope I'm saying that right. And a pantheon, of course, I've got to Google what that is. Because I don't know, it's a group or a particular respected, famous, or important people. All the gods of a people of a religious collectively. So when I see that, I'm thinking, well, important people, like, so for us, it would be George Washington. So how would that, that's who we would worship if we're Canaanites, you know, somebody famous, somebody important, Ben Affleck. Somebody famous. But this is who they worshiped. They worshiped other people. They had several different gods. They had El, and that was the creator. He was the chief god, identified in Canaanite art as a seated man figure with arms raised as giving a blessing. They had Asherah, the storm god. Baal and his sister Anat, gods of hunting and warfare, but no Jesus. They didn't have Jesus. They had no true God. They had other respected and famous people that they worshiped. So she went to Jesus. She had heard about Jesus. But Jesus wasn't there to help her, so he said. See, why I told you that bothered me, that statement where he said, it's not right for me to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Now, we know that Jesus wasn't racist. Jesus had everything that good in him. But the second I read that, and throughout the years, I thought, man, why was he being so mean? Why was he being rude to her? He's here for everyone. He didn't care. Race, color, or creed, he didn't care. So why is it looking like he does here? Have you ever had your faith tested? I believe that's what he was doing. I believe he was going, you know what? You worship other gods. Do you really believe I can do it? Do you really have faith that if you ask me to do this for you, that I can do it? Do you remember her answer? Yes, Lord, but even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the table. Master. From the master's table. She said, yes, I do believe. I have faith that you will do what I ask. And he did it. She showed humility at that moment. She bowed down. She showed trust. She trusted that Jesus was who he said he was. Because of your great faith, I will do what you ask. Well, I need that. I need to hear that. Every time it's time to sit down and write one of these down, I struggle. I worry. Every single time. Every single time it comes time to stand in front of y'all and deliver a message, I worry. And I pray. I pray the same prayer. Lord, you know who you're working with. I need your help. Help me, Lord. And at the end of it, I always drive home at the end of this going, dadgummit, you did it again. You always come through. All that does is strengthen my faith. It strengthens my trust. Let me tell you, when I first started doing this, it was a lot worse. It was a whole lot worse. I think it's part of the deal that I continued to have that apprehensiveness and nervousness. And from what I understand, that should never go away. Right, John?
Amen.
So tonight, I'm going to ask Jesslyn and Logan, y'all come up and Will and Wanda, and I'm going to ask these guys to come. You guys stand over here, and you guys stand over here. James 5:14 says, anyone who is sick, who's not sick in this room? I didn't see no hands go up. Everybody's sick. We all have something that needs healing. We all have something. We know someone in our lives that is struggling. James 5:14 says, anyone who is sick should call the church elders. They should pray for and pour oil on the person in the name of the Lord. And the prayer that is said with faith, the prayer that is said with trust, the prayer that is said knowing that Jesus will do what he said he will do, will make that person well. If there's anybody or you struggling with anything, here's an opportunity. I know these people, they're believers. Prayers are powerful and effective. They have oil. The scripture says to pour oil on them. There's nothing powerful about the oil. There's no healing properties in that oil. It's purely the fact it's obedience. Purely the fact that God said to do this, and that's how you do it. So, Jonah's going to play a little something, and the band's back up, and they're going to play some music. And as that happens, you guys come be anointed. Be healed.